Gospels to Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. It's a verse that's been really settling in on my heart over the last few weeks, and I want to want us to look at this verse in particular. And as we did last time, we talked, be prepared to be turning. Got some other places I want us to go, and I appreciate you being out tonight. What a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house on a Wednesday night. Amen. It's freedom we have that we shouldn't take lightly, and I praise His name for His grace to us. Psalms chapter 73. Look down in verse number 26. Verse 26. The Bible says there, my flesh and my heart faileth. Let me say that again. My flesh and my heart faileth. And I tell you what, repetition does us good, because we're all in this state, if you think about it. We realize who we are and what we are. My flesh and my heart faileth. I like that little colon there that ties something together. Something else is coming. He says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've blessed us with. God, You've been so good to us. We magnify and we praise Your blessed holy name. Lord, we lift You up tonight, God, for You're worthy of our praise. Thank You for each one that's here tonight, for the youth that are here. We just praise You for them as well. And pray that You'd bless each teacher tonight. Pray, God, You'd just use them in a mighty and special way, Lord. I pray that You'd help me tonight, God, to be, Lord, just Your mouthpiece, Lord. I pray You'd fill me with Your presence. Lord, unless You come, it'll all be in vain. Lord, I pray that You'd move, God, in a great way. Lord, help us, God, to share this, what's on our heart tonight. Lord, I pray Your will be done. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the psalmist here says, and my heart faileth. If I had a title to the lesson tonight, I guess it would be this. Truth that is prevailing when your flesh and heart are failing. The truth that is prevailing when your flesh and your heart are failing. We see in this verse, the psalmist realized that he was in a desperate position. He was in a desperate position. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth. Now, the word flesh there is from the Greek word shiar, which means the physical realm, the physical body. And the Lord had something to say about the flesh. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 26, I want you to see here what the Lord had to say about the flesh in particular. As we look at this in this study, we find here in Matthew 26 them in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we find in Matthew 26, if you look over in verse number 36, the Bible says here, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, you don't think the Lord wasn't struggling there. I know he was God, but he also had this fleshly body. He was struggling there. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples in verse 40 and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then watch this in verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Now, it's interesting that the Lord said this in this particular sentence here, and where they were, because if you look back up in the earlier part of the chapter, the Lord had already told them what would happen. He said, all of you should be offended because of me in verse 31. This night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Look what Peter had to say there in 33. He answered and said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus just prophesied to Peter what he was going to do. He said, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter turns around, even after he said that, and he said, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. So, where they were there, they said, okay, no, we won't deny. No, Lord, there's no way. You know, we'll die with you. We're going to die with you. But the Lord told Peter, he said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And it was exactly the way the Lord said it. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And folks, let me say this, that in this, in our text verses tonight, my flesh and my heart faileth. We're all in that condition. If we realize, and we really realize what we are, we're all in that condition. We're all, our flesh and our heart is weak, and it fails. Left alone to ourselves, left alone in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own power, we're going to fail. Every time. Okay? So realize that. We need to realize who we are. We're in a desperate position. We find this desperate position. Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, the Bible says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So our flesh is weak, folks. Our flesh is weak. It's failing. It fails us. The Bible says there, not only he said, my heart, my flesh faileth, but he said, and my heart faileth. My heart faileth. Now, the heart is speaking here of the inner man, the mind, the will. It's that inward part of man, of each of us. And, you know, we know our flesh is sinful. This flesh will not be redeemed. It is not redeemed. But yet, you know, we think of our heart and we think, yeah, but the Lord changed our heart. But we've got to realize again that without Him, I mean, we'll fail. Without Him, even our hearts will fail. Look in Psalm chapter 40. Let's turn there, please, in Psalms chapter 40. Won't you see what the Bible says about this? Psalms 40. In verse number 11. Psalms 40, verse number 11. The Bible says here in Psalms 40, verse number 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. He said, my heart faileth me. So again, we find another instance where the psalmist again realizes that our hearts are weak. They're failing. They will fail us every time in our own strength and our own might. Psalm 139, verse 23, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, help us all to realize that we are weak and that we will fail in our own power and our own strength. We should never trust in ourselves. We should always trust in God. What he says here, he says, my flesh and my heart. Back to that main, the text verse. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. I'm glad that is not the end. That's not the final thought in this particular verse. Because you find that word, and I love this, when God butts in. When God butts in. The word but is the conjunction. Again, it ties these two different phrases together. And we see a negative. We see the first part of the verse is negative. It seems hopeless. It seems like there's no help. There's no hope to be found in our flesh and our heart. And that's true, again, in our own strength. But I like how he finished up. He said, but we find here in the second part of this verse, not only did we saw in the first part a desperate position, but in the second part, we see a dynamic prescription. I guarantee you, right here tells you the cure for what ails you. It'll cure your failing flesh and your failing heart. He said, God is the strength of my heart. Now, I want you to notice something here in our text verse. When he mentions his condition, my flesh and my heart faileth, he begins with the flesh and then he mentions the heart. Notice that. Did you see that? He said, my flesh and my heart faileth. He begins with the flesh. But when he reports the remedy or the cure or the prescription, if you will, he starts with the heart. Because listen, without the heart being changed, the flesh is not going to change. The outward appearance is not going to change. You don't change from the outside in. You change from the inside out. When God comes in and he rebirths you, he changes you from within. He comes in and he abides. He takes up abode in your heart. And he starts a change within which comes to your outward appearance. Okay? So here again he says, he starts with the heart. He begins with the heart. When God works a cure in man, he begins with his heart. He cures that first. Psalm 27:14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He strengthens the heart. He didn't say, wait on him, he'll strengthen your flesh. He said, if you'll wait on me, he said, I'll strengthen your heart, because that's where true change takes place. When it changes in your heart, hey, it'll change the way you walk, it'll change the way you talk, it changes the way you act. So it takes place in the heart. Psalm 62:7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Let me read that again in Psalm 62:7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge. By the way, the word strength here in the text actually translates rock. So again here, we're talking about God is not, he's our strength, but he is our rock. He is the foundation for our life. He is our rock and he is our strength. Turn over in Psalms 46, please. Psalms 46. I want you to go and see this. Psalms 46. If you hadn't got it underlined, I recommend you do so. Psalms 46, verse 1. Look what he says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I like that. He's always present. He's always present. When trouble is going on all around you, when the waves and the wind and the winds of trouble are stirring about you, you can count on him to be with you. You can count on him to be there and to be your refuge and your strength. And it's interesting here that I notice this word refuge. We're talking about the strength. We're talking about him being our rock. But that word refuge really stood out to me. Look over in Exodus 33. I want you to see this. It's a familiar text and has been preached out of many times. But Exodus chapter 33. I want you to see this about the rock that he's dealing with here. And since we're talking about this, that he is our strength, he is our rock. You remember that here in our text that Moses, he's led the people out of Egypt and they're traveling and the Lord has called him up to meet with him. And Moses said in verse number 18 of Exodus chapter 33, he said, I beseech thee, he's talking to God here. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, God speaking, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Hallelujah. And thou shalt, look right here now, thou shalt stand upon a rock. We're talking about the Lord being our strength. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. But not only, he said you go stand, but he said, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee, hallelujah, in a cleft of the rock. And he said, I'll cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And he said, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. But I like that, what he said. No, he said in verse 21, you're going to stand upon a rock. But he said, I'm going to take you then. In verse 22, when my glory passes by, he said, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. He said, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. I say, hallelujah. The rock on which Moses stood and in the cleft of which he was sheltered was doubtless an emblem of Christ. It was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose person, character, and salvation alone sinners made by faith woo, see the glory of God and live. I say, let me read that again. Woo, the rock on which Moses stood, he stood on it, but then also the Lord put him in it, in the cleft of it, which he sheltered. Not only did he stand on the rock, that was his strength, he was also sheltered by the rock. It was doubtless an emblem of Christ, a type of Christ, in whose person, character, and salvation alone sinners made by faith see the glory of God and live. I say hallelujah to His name. I'm glad not only is He my strength, but He is my shelter. He is my refuge in a time of trouble. Psalm chapter 91. Let's turn there, please, before I move on from this. Psalm 91. I want you to see what the Bible says here. Psalms 91. Psalm 91, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. All right, Psalm 91, verse 1. It's a good one to highlight or underline. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Wow. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Boy, I like that word my right there. That's a possessive pronoun. That doesn't mean he's somebody else's. It means he's mine. He's mine. I can say he's mine. He's my God. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. I thank God for that. I thank God for the salvation he's given me so that I can be called one of his. And he can say I'm his and he's mine. I praise him for that. He is my refuge. He is my strength. And not only is he the rock, he's our strength. But He is our refuge. In Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, that means shield, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. At my high tower there is a stronghold or refuge. That's Psalm 18, 1 and 2. So that word high tower again means a stronghold or a refuge. And the horn of the salvation there he speaks of strength and power there. He said the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He shelters me. He protects me. He's my deliverer. He delivers me from danger and from the wiles of the devil. He's my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler. He's my shield. And He is the horn of the strength of the power of my salvation. Listen, without God, there's no power. There is no salvation apart from Him. There is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, He is the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He's my stronghold and He's a refuge that I can run to in time of trouble. Psalms 18, 1 and 2. So He is our strength. He is our strength. And back to our text verse in Psalms 73. Let's go back there just briefly here. So not only is he our he is our rock, he is our strength, but he says here, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God, he is the strength, or he's the rock of my heart, and he's my portion forever. So we find not only that, but we find also in this latter part of this verse a durable portion. A durable. That word durable means everlasting. It means a lasting portion. It means something that won't fail. Now the word portion there is defined as a share or a part, or you could say it in this way, a lot. So he says there, he is my portion forever. He's my share. He's my part. You think about that in Psalms chapter 16, verse number 5. The Bible says there, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. You think about that. He is our share. He is our part. I mean, you're talking about, you got a great, I mean, your lot's amazing. If God is your share, if he is your portion, then my gracious friends, what more could you ask for? What more could you ask for in life than to have him as our share, as our part, what he's done for us? He said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance in Psalm 16:5. And I want you to turn over to Lamentations. I want you to see this particular verse here. Lamentations, it's right after the book of Jeremiah and before the book of Ezekiel. It's right between those two, sandwiched in between those two books. So it's after Jeremiah. So turn to Lamentations chapter 3. I want you to look here, chapter 3. And we're going to zoom in on verse number 24, but I want us to look at 22. I want to start there. Lamentations chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. All right, good. All right. He says there in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord, in verse 24, here it is, the Lord is my portion. He is my part. He is my share. He's mine. He said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. My friends, what more could you hope in? What greater is there to hope in than God? I mean, you think about this as far as, you know, in things in life, you think about what your share is and what your portion is in something. But then you look at this text verse and what it says, he said, the Lord is our portion. He's a portion that is everlasting. He's a portion that is eternal. He's a portion that will never fail us. He's a portion that will never end. He said, the Lord is my portion. In Psalm 142 and verse 5, the Bible says there, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. My gracious, he's our portion. He's our portion. He's our part. He's our share. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke 15, because this word portion came up in this particular text here in Luke chapter 15, a very, very familiar text to us. Luke chapter 15, down in verse number 11, we see the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 in verse number 11. And we're talking about a portion here. We're talking about what do we have? What do we have? What is our lot? What is our portion? What is our share? And he's saying here that God, in our text verse, he said that God is our. He is our portion forever. And look at this. And let's get this on this realm here in dealing with this word portion. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the, there's that word, portion. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me my share. I want my part. I want my part, okay? But you think about this. this young man that came to his father, he didn't realize what he had. If you think about it, he had everything that the father had was his, and he had the father, and that was the most important thing. He had his father. And let's look at that in the sense of us with God. I want you to see this as well. He said there, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He was thinking on physical things. He was thinking on the realm of monetary things. But see, he was limiting. He was limiting himself. He had it all. We have it all. Why don't we look for other things? Why is God not enough for us? He said, the text verse said, he is our portion forever. He is our share. What more could you ask for? What more do we need? You know, we're always, it seems like we're searching for things. We're searching for things maybe to occupy our time, to keep us busy, to satisfy us. But, I mean, if you belong to God, and you do, if you've been saved, you've been born again, what more do we need? What more do we need? He is our share. He is our portion. Now, look, he said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And you know the story. He went out and he wasted it all. And when he came to himself, thank God he came to himself. I'm glad that the Lord will let folks come to themselves. Amen. I think we all at some point in our lives have been out there in that far country. But now notice this. Now, even when he was in the far country, let me give you a little theology here. Even when he was in the far country, he was still referred to as a son. Y'all get that? He's still a son, even in the far country. So, he comes to himself. Well, how does he come to himself? Well, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the one that causes us to come to ourselves when we get away from God. So he came to himself and he realized what he had left. He realized what he was missing. And he went back. And the Father, who is a type of God, our Father, did not say, he did not, you know, chew him out when he got there or call him all kind of names and say, you're not even worthy to be here. No, what did he do? He ran. He ran to him. The Bible says he fell on his neck and kissed him. And I want you to see, they had a celebration. And I want you to see what the elder son, and you've heard it preached on. I mean, I'm not sharing anything you don't know, but man alive, this thing about the portion just stood out to me. Because the younger son didn't realize what he had with the father. Now, folks, that's where we get if we turn away from God and we go after something else because we don't realize what we've got. We don't realize the portion we have because he said God is our portion. And this father in this story right here is a type of our father, God the Father. He's got it all. He's got everything we need. And yet this younger son said, just give me a portion. He's just saying, well, give me, he thought it was just a little bit of what he had was actually his. He didn't realize everything that the Father had was his. Hallelujah. I say, everything the Father had. And look in the verse number 31. That elder son, when he heard the music and saw the dance and heard the people talking and celebrating, he asked him, said, what's going on here? He had been out in the field working. And he got upset with his father because they were having a celebration. He said in verse 29, he said to his father, lo, these many years did I serve thee, neither transgress thou at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, watch this now. This is the father talking to the son, the elder son. Son, thou art ever with me. And what's that next word? Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. That I have is whose? Thine. All I have is thine. Did you see what he's saying there? He's saying your portion is all this. It's not just a little bit. It's not a purple color over here. But it's all of this. Everything that you see, you turn around to the west and you look. Everything you see, it belongs to you because you're my son. And we got to realize that as a child of God, that the portion that he's talking about here, he said, I am your portion. And he said, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. What more, child of God? What more, brother? What more, sister, could we ask for? What more do we need? What more do we need? So that portion, they were looking with physical eyes. But God said, look, he said, all I have is thine. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us. All I have is thine. Folks, do y'all realize how wide that is? Do y'all realize how broad that is? Do y'all realize what that is? I mean, we don't. It's hard for our minds to comprehend. What more do we need? What more do we need? It's a durable portion. It's a lasting portion. The Bible says, last verse here, and I'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Because again, as the two brothers there were looking on the physical side, they were looking at what could be seen. They were looking at what they could see with their eyes. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. You see, we need to get our eyes off the things that are seen and start looking for things that are unseen. And God, though we don't see Him, we know He's there because He is, He's with us. His presence is in our heart. So He said, my flesh and my heart faileth. My flesh and my heart faileth. We saw that we're all in a desperate position. But I'm glad that's not the end, because He said, God is the strength. He's the rock. I'm going to add this. He's a refuge too. We talked about that a little bit. He's our rock. He's our strength. He's our refuge. So we have a dynamic prescription. Wonder what ails you. Does that ail you? We got the remedy for it. God has the remedy for it. He is the remedy. And not only that, we see that durable portion. He is our portion forevermore. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't be focused as much on the things of this world. Because I promise you, they will let you down. Things of this world will let you down. But God has never failed us. He's never let us down. And I got news for you. He'll never let you down, because you see, He's the gift that keeps on giving. He just keeps on giving. And you can't get outdo what He'll do for you. So I appreciate that, Brother Mike.